The Mishnah discusses a new concept, which is a concept of making benching mezuman. So when you have three people together, you bench mezuman. If there's 10, you bench with a Shem Elokeinu. So the Mishnah says that if three people ate together, and the food that they're eating is permissible food, permitted food, then they bench mezuman together. They make mezuman together. The mitzvah of making of mezuman, it's the machlokes if it's midrabbanan or midaraisa to bench to make a zimun. But either way, so you can only make a zimun if they're eating things that are permitted. So if one of them is eating a tray for food, then you could not make mezuman. Okay, so three people who ate together are obliged to make mezuman. Now what happens if one of the three people is eating the mai? The mai is food that you buy in Eretz Yisrael from an amoretz, from somebody who doesn't know how to take trumas and maestras. So if you buy food from an amoretz, it's called the mai. And the mai, it's even though it's not the best circumstance, it's muta, it's permitted to eat, because most amaratzim in fact do take trumas and maestras. So even though we call it the mai and we don't we have to deal with it by separating trumas and maestras again. But if you ate it, it's permitted because the majority of amaratzim do in fact take trumas and maestras. So if one of the three people ate the mai, which is muta to eat, or maaserishon shenitva trumasoi, or they ate maaserishon that the truma had been separated. So that's also muta to eat. Masa sheni v'hekdash sheniftu. Masa sheni is if in a regular year you take truma maisa rishon, which goes to the levy, then maisa sheni you keep for yourself, and you have to take it up to your shalim and eat it in your shalim. And also hektish, if somebody ate hektish, was baktish something, and then he was poideh. So both within the case of maisa sheni and the case of hektish, you can redeem it. Maisa sheni, you can if you have to take it to your shalim, you, let's say you have $1,000 worth of wheat, and you want to take it. You can't transport the wheat to Yerushalayim; it's too much. So you redeem the wheat for cash, and then you take the cash to Yerushalayim, and there you buy food with it. So if it was Maisa Sheni or Hekdesh, that was redeemed. So Hekdesh also, if you make something holy, and you can redeem it, and eat it afterwards. So in those cases, he ate maaser sheni or hektish that was redeemed, in fact, so it's mutter to eat. Shamash she'ochel kazayis, and the waiter, you have two people eating, and there's a waiter who's serving them, and the waiter he ate a kazayis. As part of, while he was serving, he ate a kazayis, and now they come to bench, so the waiter can be the third person in the zimun. And it has to be that the waiter ate a kazayis, and everybody has to eat a kazayis of food. Or if a kusi is a certain sect of of Jews who converted, and then there was a question whether there was a proper conversion to Judaism or not. So it's machlokes tanaim whether they're counted as Jews. So the Tanna of this Mishnah holds that they are counted as Jews. So therefore, if you have...
What do you call them?
Kusi.
Are those Kuzari?
No. Kusi was... it's a group... It's they came to Eretz Yisrael at the time of the first place of Mikdash. And they were attacked by lions, and so they converted to Judaism in the hope that this would save them from the lions. But they didn't fully adopt Judaism. They had some they kept some of their old customs. So it's machloket if they are counted as Jews or not. So this Tana holds that they are counted as Jews. So if you had three people who ate kosher food, and they ate at least a kazayas each one, and so the three peoples, then you make mezuman, you make mezuman together. So mezamnin aleihen, you make mezuman. So that in that case it's permitted. Abel ochal tevel, if one of the three people ate tevel. Tevel is food that has not been not had trumas and maishas taken properly. Or he ate maishas that the truma had not been taken. So that it's not, you have to take truma first. Or ma'aser sheni v'hekdar shelo niftu, or he ate ma'aser sheni and hekdash that he had not redeemed it. So it's still has its status of ma'aser sheni or of hekdash. V'shamas she'ochel pochus mekazayas, or the shamas ate less than the kazayas, so he's eating with them, but he only ate a little amount of a sugar cube. If the third person is a goy, then you don't make mezuman. You cannot make a mezuman, and each one benches separately. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Mishnah base: Noshim b'avodim u'katanim ein mezamnin aleihem. If you have a woman or an eved, so even an eved kanani who's has a din of who keeps the din of that women are mechuyev to keep katanim and minors ein mezamnin aleihem. You cannot include them in mezuman. So the Mishnah says, "At kama mezamnin, how much, in fact, do you have to eat? What is the smallest amount of food that you have to eat in order to be able to make a mezuman?" So the first Tana says, "At kazayas, you have to have a volume of a kazayas." Rabbi Huda Omer at kebeah. Rabbi Huda says, "The amount is the volume of an egg, which is larger than a kazayas." So if you ate at least that much food, and you ate food that was permitted, you can make a mezuman. But you can't include women or an eved or a cotton or a child. Okay, now this is a lengthy Mishnah. So we now have, there's a mechoikas in the Mishnah. What is the nusach? What is the wording we say when we mention mezuman? So we now we have two simple forms. One is if three people up to 10 people, we say rabotai nevarech, and then everyone answers, Yehi Shem Hashem Yivorach Me'atov Yad Olam, Reshut Rabotai, Nevarech Shechalnu Mishelo. Okay, so up to nine people we say that Nusach. When we have 10 people, we say Nevarech Elokeinu. You add the word Elokeinu in. Now this Mishnah is quite different from that. It goes into quite a lengthy machloikas about what the actual Nusach is. So Kesel Mezamnin, how do we do Zimun? Bishloisha Oyman Nevarech. When you have three people, it means a total of three, including the one who's benching. Shloish Oyman Nevarech. With three people, you say Nevarech Elokeinu. Bishloisha Bahu, if there's four people, there's the person benching and plus three extra people, a total of four. So we don't say Nevarech, you say Borchu. You don't say Nevarech Lekeinu Shechal Mishaloi, you say Borchu Lekeinu Shechal Mishaloi. So that's what this Tana holds. But Sora, if there's 10 people, I'm Nevarech Lekeinu, you say Nevarech Lekeinu. Asara v'hu, I'm a baruchu alakenu. So if there's 11 people, if there's 10, you say nevarach alakenu. If there's 11 people, that means the one benching plus 10 more, you say baruchu alakenu. So the number grows, you have a different version for what the benching would look like, what the zimun would look like. So the Tana says, Echad Asorov, Echad Asorov Riboy, where there's 10 people or 10,000, or rather 100,000, Asorov Riboy means 10,000s, which is 10 times 10,000, which is 100,000. You say the same. You say Nevorach, say Borchu Elokeinu. So it's whether it's 11 people or 100,000 people, you say Baruch Hu Elokeinu, when you bench Mezuman. Now this is the opinion of the first Tana. The next Tana makes a much more complicated distinction. So the next Tana says, B'meya I'm a Baruch Hashem Elokeinu. So he says, for 3 and 10 and 11, he agrees with the first Tana. The Meya, if there's 100 people, so the previous Tana said whether it's 11 or 100,000, it's no different. This one says, the Meya, if there's 100 people, Oyman Avorach Hashem Elokeinu, we should bench to Hashem Elokeinu. The Meya Vahu, if it's 100 plus him, it's 101 people, it says Baruch Hu Hashem Elokeinu. The Aleph, Ayman, Baruch Hashem Elokeinu, Elokei Yisrael. If it's 1,000 people, you say, and the reason is, as you grow in number, it's more of a important group. So you add some praise to Hashem because it's a more important group. So be'elef I'm nevorach Hashem alakeinu alakei Yisrael. If it's 1,000 people, you say nevorach Hashem alakeinu alakei Yisrael. Be'elef v'hu, if it's 1,000 plus him, it's 1,001. You say baruchu Hashem alakeinu alakei Yisrael. Okay, beriboy. If it's 10,000 people, Aimer, he says, Nevorach Hashem Elokeinu, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Tzvoko, it's Yoishev. Yoishev HaKruvim on a Mosin Shechalnu. If it's 10,000 people, you say, we bench to Hashem Elokeinu, Elokei Tzvoko, it's the Lord of the hosts, Yoishev HaKruvim, who sits enthroned on the Kruvim, on the Kruvim, the cherubim that were in the Beis HaMikdash, and Amozn Shechalnu for the food that we ate. Riboy Vahu, if it's 10,000 and him, so it's 10,001, you say, instead of Mevorach, you say Baruch Hu. Okay, so the Mishnah says now, how do we respond? And all these, you've got all these different expressions, these different benching terms. So b'inyan shumavorech kach oinin achrov. In the same manner that the person who's benching.
Rav, I'm sorry, what part were on 7-3 or 7-2?
We're 7-3.
Ah, 7-3, okay, thank you.
Yeah, this is a very long Mishnah. In the same manner that he recites the Zimun, so they respond after him. So the people would answer Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Tzvokos, Yoshua Kruvim, Alamozm Shechalnu. So they would answer the same way that the same introduction that they heard, they answer back with the same expression. Okay, so that's so whichever form of zimun the person benching says, the crowd responds the same response. Instead of saying Nevorech, they say Baruch Hashem Elokeinu. Okay. Okay, Rabbi Yosef Gili Oimer. So it seems that Rabbi Yosef Gili is the second Tana who gave this long list of options for benching, depending on the size of the crowd. So he says the reason for this is lefi roif hakal hein mevorachin. According to the size of the gathering, they say the zimun shenema, because it says in Tehillim v'makelos borchu lekim Hashem imakol Yisrael. V'makelos means when there's a gathering, borchu lekim, you bench Hashem imakol Yisrael, from the source of Israel. That means if there's a larger crowd, depending on the gathering. If the gathering is smaller, you have one set of one set of introductions. If it's a larger gathering, so you have more complicated introduction. And that's the reasoning of the second Tanna who gave the whole long list of different options. But Rabbi Akiva says, who was the first Tana, says, no, that you don't make such a distinction. What do we find in a shul when one person is saying the davening, when the chazan is saying the davening, echad merubin, echad muatin, whether it's a big crowd or a small crowd, Oimer Baruch Hu Hashem. You say when Baruch Hashem Avoyrach, whether it's 10 people or 10,000, you say the same Baruch Hashem Avoyrach. So therefore, he says, so you only have a distinction, instead of having a distinction of 1,000 and 10,000 and 100,000, you only have a distinction of 3 and 10, and then he has one more. So he says, the first Tana said three people, 10 people, and up to 100,000 people. So there was three. There was only three
tiers, right?
Three tiers, correct.
Is there anything else that we haven't mentioned that's like this, where we change the nusach over the number of people?
I think so. The only thing would be on Chazaros HaShatz, when the Shatz is saying he's saying Birchus Kohanim, so there's a difference if it's how many Kohanim there are. When you say, sometimes you'll hear them in Israel, you'll hear them say Kohanim, sometimes they say nothing, and so it depends if it's one Kohen or two or three. That depends on, so the introduction will depend on how many Kohanim there is, but otherwise I don't think there's any situation where it's
changed. Interesting. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Rav, quick, curious question, please. Be'ezrat Hashem, when Mashiach ben David comes, what's going to be the Viracha? Because they're supposed to all the Jews gather together, no?
It's a good question. There's a famous song, which is a Yiddish song, that what will be when Mashiach comes? And then it goes in, the song goes, who's going to at the Suda of Mashiach, who's going to speak? It'll be Moshe Rabbeinu, who's going to bench? Aaron HaKohen. So there's a whole song. It says, you know, who benches and who speaks and who's going to make them with the brocha on the challah. So it's we'll see what happens. We'll have to be patient. Okay. Next, Mishnah Shlosha She'achlu, Mishnah Dalet. Shlosha She'achlu Ke'echad Eina Neshoin Chalek. Now, what happens if you have six people in a room, and they're let's say three of them are eating now, and three of them sit down to eat, and they want a bench. So then you have three people who ate together and they can bench together. So they're obliged to participate in the zimun. So three people, shlosha she'achlu ke'echad, einan reshayin lechalek. If three people ate together, all three of them have to bench together. They can't. One of them can't say, "Oh, I gotta run." So I'm going to bench ahead. Yes, the three of them have to wait and bench together. Now, if one of them wants to run, so he'll bench for the other two, and then he can run and they can continue eating. Now, what happens if so shlosha she'achlu ke'echad einan reshayin lechalek, they can't separate. Chen arba'a v'chen chamisha, if there's four or five people, they cannot separate. They all have to bench together. But if there's six people, shisha, there's six people eating together, so then three of them can bench now and three can bench later. So then you're allowed to separate. So you can, of the six people, three can bench now, make a zimun together, then three can bench later. That's ad asara, until 10 people. So that means if there's 10 people in a room and one of them wants to leave, they have to bench together, make with a minyan. And then that person, if somebody wants to leave, he has to bench, make with zuman for 10 people at Norach Lolokeinu. And then the other nine can continue. If he wants to bench, he has to bench. and the other nine can continue eating as long as they want. So other till 10 people, so between 6 and so between 6 and 10 you can't separate. You have to, if there's up to 10 people, they have to bench together. Adasora vasora ein nechlokin, and if there's 10, achiyu esrim till there's 20. So if there's 10 people, you have to bench together. If there's 18 people, and so some of them want to leave, you have to all bench together. But if there's 20, you can make two groups of 10. So the halacha is that nobody is allowed to break up a zimun, whether it's 3 people or 10 or any number. You're not allowed to break up a zimun, and so you have to stay and you have to participate, so the zimun doesn't lose its importance. Okay, now so we have the last Mishnah in the Perek. Shtei chaburos shehoyu orchlois bevayis echad. There are two groups eating together in one house. So let's say you've got a large house, a bunch of people eating in the dining room, and a bunch of people in the living room. Shtei chaburos shehoyu orchlois bevayis echad. Two groups eating in one house. If part of them can see the other part. So let's say you've got 5 guys in the dining room, 5 guys in the living room, and 2 of the people in the dining room can see 2 of the people in the living room. So bizman shmiksosan roin elu eselu, when part of them can see part of them. That means not everybody has to see everybody else. But if there's within the 10, there's several people who can see the whole group. Hare elim itstarf from the zimun. They can join it as a zimun. So if this 5 people here, 5 people there, and some of these people are seeing some of these people. So there's if you form a chain, everybody there's a chain. There's a continuous chain of 10 people who can see each other.
Is this only with 10, or this is if you have like let's say 4?
Same with 4. Yeah, if two and two, and one of the one in each room can see each other, then that's good enough. So Hare Elim Mitzarf and Azumu that also. So they can join for Zimun. If there's no continual chain of vision, that means if I can see 2 guys there and then I see 2 guys in my room, so there's one chain of vision that's going around. If there's no chain of vision, each one has to make a separate zimun. So if there's 3 and 3 in 2 separate rooms, if they cannot see each other, then they have to bench separately. If they can see each other, even if some of them are seeing some of them, then they can bench together. Okay, now there's an interesting halacha, which has nothing to do with a mizuman.
Rabbi, I'm sorry, just before you go on, I have a question regarding them seeing each other. So when you make a zimun, you have to hear, no? You like, let's say, when the zimun is happening, and then after you hear it, you respond. So what if the two groups in separate rooms, but they can see each other, but they cannot hear? What's the halacha on that?
No, that's no good. They have to hear each other, because if they don't hear each other, they can't answer. So they have to hear each other for sure. seeing, they also have to see each other. I guess the question will be if there's a microphone involved. So, you know, it depends who you ask. Some people will say it's good enough with a microphone. Some people will say not. Okay, so now there's a new halacha that in the olden days, the wine was extremely strong. And it was impossible to drink it. It was so strong that it was impossible to drink it unless it was diluted. So the Mishnah says, "Ein mevorchen al hayayin ad sheyitein l'soich hamayim." You can't make a brocha, b'ri pri hagafen, on wine until you dilute it with water. Because it's when it's undiluted, it's too strong. It's not something that's potable. It's not drinkable. It's too strong. So therefore, you have to add water. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that's what Rabbi Eliezer says. Because it's raw wine. It's too strong, and it's not drinkable. But Chachamim Maimrim Mevarchen. Chachamim says no. In fact, it is drinkable, and you can make a broch on it, even though it's going to be very difficult to drink. Because the Chachamim hold that they used to make different drinks out of raw wine, and so this is the raw material which they would use to make other wine products. So the Chachamim hold that in fact you can make a brocha on the wine. So this is sort of comes in. Out of left field, this halacha. It doesn't really nothing to do with Zimun, but it's just telling you that you can make a brocha until you dilute it, and that's why it's many people have the custom when they make kiddush on Friday night, they take a bit of water in the cup first, and they put the water into the wine bottle. And then they pour from the wine bottle into their cup, because it's a custom that they should dilute the wine before you make the brocha very pre-ordered. Thank you, gentlemen. See you, Mr. Shem, on Sunday.
All good.
Thank you. Chazak and Baruch.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom, brother.
Yeah, what's your full name?
Me?
Yeah.
My name is Fivish Heller.
Fivish Ben.